Section 2, Days of Popularity. I have never wished to cater to the crowd for what I know they do not approve. And what they approve, I do not know. Epicurus. Question 26. What seek ye? John 1:34-40. Again the next day, after John the Baptist stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Here we are made privy to the meeting of the Christ and his first disciples. Perhaps the unnamed one here was the author, John, the beloved, as this testimony begins, And I saw and bear record. At the beginning, John and Andrew were disciples of John the Baptist, and the day after overhearing John identify Jesus as the Lamb of God, they went after him. As they pursued him, Jesus turned and asked, What seek ye? It's a shame they did not answer his question, for I'd like to know their answer. If these men were disciples of John, they were not zealots looking for a warrior to free them from Roman oppression. As disciples of John, they were likely out of fellowship with the synagogue and therefore were not taught what to expect. Their motivation had to be from the simple message of John, which was to clean up their lives and build a smooth path for the Messiah, for he was coming. This message could only appeal to men of faith, to dedicated men who desired to see Israel gain again its rightful place as the beloved state it once was, and men who desired to redeem themselves to Jehovah. These were religious men, if you will, men whose desires were spiritual. Jesus called his other disciples from the place they occupied in the world. Their occupations were as diverse as tax collecting is from commercial fishing, but these two men found Jesus and made their place with him. These two were looking for him. This makes his question even more interesting. He asked, What seek ye? What are you looking for? In the beginning of the book of John, the author points out that He, Christ, came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is an interesting situation. The zealots were looking for a soldier, political impetus. The church was looking for a deliverer like Moses or Elijah, religious impetus. The church leaders were looking for signs and wonders to be performed to add supernatural confirmation to their theories and studies. Intellectual, ego, impetus. And the men of commerce were not looking at all. This is very similar to the situation today. The conventional Christian church of today is again looking for Jesus to return and set all things right. We must remember that the church totally missed him the first time. They not only missed him, they were instrumental in his execution. They had thoughts regarding who he must be, whence he must come, who his parents must be, what he must do, and what he must not do. With all these criteria set up in the religious minds of the day, the script Messiah would have to follow was written, the stage was set for an execution. Day after day, these two men who sought Jesus heard the message from John the Baptist, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Look at the concept of making straight the path. John was preaching what had been prophesied hundreds of years before, as recorded in Isaiah 43-5, The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. One day my wife, Pamela, and I were driving through the mountains, and I was explaining how the interstate construction crews dynamite the tops off the hills and let the rubble fill the valleys on either side, creating a more even roadbed. I explained that this is why there's cuts in the tops of each hill. As I said this, I remembered the above scripture. Every valley shall be lifted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And I realize that this is how we are to make the highway for our God. Not by creating doctrinal mountains for him to step over. Not scriptural tests and hurdles to prove he is who he says. But by letting him be who he is and not who we think he must be. If we create and hold to doctrinal ideas that are mountaintops that he must surmount, and valleys of testing he must pass through, we're making his path crooked and difficult. If we are to know him when he appears, we must know him in spirit and not the letter. We must make his path an easy one, a smooth one of his choosing. Luke 17:20 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, calculations, signs, and wonders.'" Later, Luke 19:11 records Christ's motivation for saying this, "Because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." There are many examples of mankind misunderstanding who Christ should be and what he should do. Jesus demonstrated that there was a delusion in the minds of these who could not understand. When Jesus was asked, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" he answered, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given." On this subject, Paul confirmed the prophet when he repeated, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive." There was a purposefully placed veil over his first coming. Whatever this veil of delusion was, it was God's doing. And it accomplished its purpose. Knowing that deception is possible, we must use caution, for the event of Christ's return, according to Scripture, will be concurrent with a strong delusion sent by God. This delusion is designed for the damnation of all those who do not love truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. That can include scores of people in the world and many in churches. Our only defense is to love truth and to prepare the way of the Lord. We must make his path straight and smooth. We must not build up criteria with which the signs of his coming must comply, nor should we establish proof texts to acid test the returning Christ, or we may find ourselves caused to experience the strong delusion that is coming. As we consider the mental image of our Messiah and the script we've created in our minds of his return and how it will be, are we sure that the facts we've gathered over the years are trustworthy? Where did your eschatology originate? Where did you get your understanding of last things? It would shock many today to find that the most widely held beliefs in regard to what moderns call the rapture is only about 150 years old. It was never preached by the apostles and never believed by the early church. Even though it is lacking scriptural support and it is deficient in historical evidence, it is believed by many and taught prominently in the churches, seminaries, and over the airwaves daily. What do you believe? What are you seeking? Have you set in your mind exactly what Messiah's appearance is to be? The Pharisees looked for a miracle worker. The Sadducees looked for a king. You should be open and pliable to his spirit. You should research what you hold as true and be willing to change in conformity to truth. The delusion that is sent is based in incorrect information. It's founded in lies, and only those who love truth will see through it. Notice that according to the scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2, it is not required of you to know the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10-12, "And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Notice that this protection from the delusion is not based on knowledge, but it is required that you love truth. Do you love truth? One who is familiar with, recognizes, and promotes truth is one who loves truth. Matthew 24 is replete with warnings that you should beware of being deceived. Let no man deceive you, and take heed that you be not deceived. We don't know what the strong delusion will be, but it will involve a false Christ. And this false Christ will be exactly what some are seeking. What seek ye?